Our Party Line interview this morning. We're very happy to have Dodge County Administrator Cameron Clapper on the phone with me. Cameron, good morning. Welcome back to WBEV.
Bob, thank you. Good morning to you. Glad to be here this morning.
You and I agreed quite some time ago to have this interview, and I've been wanting to talk about housing, and we're going to do that sort of in the second half of this program, because there's a number of other things going on in Dodge County that we just want to take a few moments of your time and pass some information along to our listeners. So with the help of our news department, a couple of things we wanted to just check in with you about. How about the upcoming county budget? I know that you folks are working on that. You had an executive session, I think, recently. What's the status of the budget here in Dodge County?
Well, yeah, so we are right now still working through, we're doing, I guess, final reviews of operational budgets from every department. There'll be a brief update tomorrow with the Executive Committee for Dodge County, and then later in the afternoon with the Finance Committee. The big topic for the next week or so with committees is our capital improvement plan, bringing up various projects that exist for next year and beyond, and then we'll be moving into the final stages of the budget, wrapping up actually producing the document and the details, everything with the budget, and presenting that in early October. So right now, things are shaking out. You know, overall, I think very well. The biggest challenge we have is for this year, at least that I've seen thus far, really has to do with changing our operational perspective when it comes to projects from utilizing federal dollars that came from the American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA, to going back to utilizing just our own resources that we generate in Dodge County, property or sales tax, primarily sales tax, when it comes to capital projects. But things right now are looking good. Most of the headaches, you should probably ask me at the end of this next week. That's when I will feel like I've been trying to squeeze juice out of a rock for a week or so.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, is it a matter of cutting some hoped-for projects or possibly increasing taxes? Is that the crux of what you and the administrators and the lawmakers in Dodge County are dealing with now?
I would say absolutely. So with levy limits, we don't have a lot of flexibility with tax increases, nor are we interested in doing that if we can help it. Our people in Dodge County are already paying taxes. So what we're looking at is, having to cut down projects. What projects are the most important to be able to fund in the coming year? So that comes with, we have a goal for completing 22 miles of road projects every year in order to maintain our entire road system over a course of about 25, 28 years. So being able to keep on pace with that is important. Also important, a number of other projects related to our facilities. We have a master plan process underway, a master planning process for our physical facilities, and that will be completed, but not until, unfortunately, not until October or early November. So if that's the timeline for completion of that, we'll be coming back again to think through what do we do for our physical facilities long term. We have a lot of old buildings and some things that are starting to break down. We need to either replace or significantly renovate. So those are the projects we're looking at, and which ones do we fund now, which ones do we hold off on for next year? That's the big question.
Cameron Clapper, the Dodge County Administrator, on the phone with me on Party Line this morning. I have had a couple of programs in the last couple of months about careers. We've talked with Moraine Park. We've talked with some of the union organized, some different career tracks. I know that there is something that Dodge County is proposing, Classrooms to Careers Fund. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that? It sounds fascinating to me.
Oh, yes. Yes. Happy to do so. I credit for this program has to go to our community development folks, Nate Olson and Morgan Mookie from our Land Resources and Parks Department, who have been really the innovators behind making this happen from the county's perspective. The county board will actually begin hearing about this Monday at the executive committee meeting. We'll be talking about what this program would entail. But right now, what we're looking at doing is helping to facilitate, not really fund as much because of our limited resources, but facilitate development of some kind of program that would ultimately be able to help fuel an Inspire program, which is a Wisconsin CISA program for educators and schools in Wisconsin that allows youth to come and get exposure to a business or a particular industry while they're still in high school. In addition to that, there's internship programs. There's also our own Dodge County internship program, which kicked off this year and was very successful. So those are all things that we would love to see continue in Dodge County. And so this fund really focuses on those county internships, fine, but the other programs that school districts would need to pay for. And you know, and your listeners probably are aware, but if not, we've had a number of operating referendums in school districts throughout Dodge County in the last few years, and they continue to fail. And as a result, really with increased costs for operating schools, that means budgets, you know, decisions have to be made about what gets cut. And sadly, one of those programs that's kind of on the fringe, because it doesn't necessarily stick with the educating on the core things needed to get kids through school, are programs like the internships or Inspire programs through CISA and the city of Wisconsin. So this fund is really an intentional effort to get businesses and other private investors together, working with the Beaver Dam Community Foundation and putting together a resource where we can potentially have a program to award dollars to help fund some of these things that school districts are having to cut.
We followed the subject of tax increases versus programs having to be cut with my asking you about this Classrooms to Careers mm-hmm. Fund. Is this going to be an expensive item in Dodge County if it does go forward, or is this more a matter of just combining different resources and working together?
I think the latter, Bob, very much. It's combining resources and primarily, again, for Dodge County as a county, we're not putting dollars in. We're helping facilitate development of the program.
Okay.
So, I really hope that this is more of a synthesizing or an orchestrating of a lot of good resources that already exist to kind of pivot and focus them on something that is badly needed in Dodge County.
I'm speaking with Cameron Clapper this morning on WBEV's Party Line program. We're taking up a couple of issues that are current in Dodge County. As I've been promising for a few weeks, we're also going to talk about the housing issue in the second half of the program. But I do want to invite any listeners, if there's something specific you'd like me to ask of the Dodge County Administrator, you can text that to me right now, 887-9595. You folks all look great, those over in the county offices, but you seem to be trying to improve the image of Dodge County in a number of different ways. We went from rebranding, and I hear there's some discussion of an update of the website. Let's talk about the good look that Dodge County is putting forward to the rest of the state.
Awesome. Yeah, happy to do that. So I can give a little update, Bob, and if you got any questions about it, feel free. But
sure.
For a number of years now, and credit again goes to the great staff we have with Dodge County, we've been working on turning a page with the image of the county. The county board is a significant, I won't say significant improvement, but significantly improved as supervisors have matured in their role. They're working really well, I think, overall together. And then as staff, just trying to change the perception about our responsiveness as an organization and whether or not we're pro-business, whether or not we're wanting to engage with our folks in the community. So the website is the most recent effort to make that statement and demonstrate a change. So we will be launching a new website in the middle of October. So after the October County Board meeting on the 21st, we will launch the site. I guess it'll go up officially on October 22nd. And this is an effort to make a website that's much more user-friendly, accessible for the community, but also more user-friendly on the back end so that we take advantage of that resource and sharing information with the public. So anything from the ability to send out newsletters or e-newsletters and emails, providing more of our resources regarding county happenings as well as committee meetings. So it's really exciting. I can tell you from looking at it on the inside as we're putting it all together. Our folks in IT, information technology, as well as communications, have done an excellent job. So one other addition I guess I would share is we're looking forward to is the sheriff's office has a lot of information that is exclusively really law enforcement related, or there's a specific section of the population that's more interested in that information. To make that more accessible, the sheriff's also going to have a separate looking page. So all of the back end really similar or close together, but they'll have a better brand for or images for the brand of the sheriff's office. So we're really excited about that.
Dodge County putting its best foot forward when it comes to the brand, the soon-to-be-released website. How about that rebranding effort? I know there were new signs around Dodge County. Tell our listeners about how that was received.
So a lot of positives. So we have, we've been for a number of years. We call it rebranding. You know, our logo, aside from updating some of the apps used to create it and some of the design work on the back end, it hasn't really changed. But the focus on a mission, vision, and values for Dodge County and really emphasizing as an organization stewardship has been huge. So with the trying to bring everything together under one brand more than rebrand, making sure we're all telling the same story and sharing the same information as a cohesive body. You know, Dodge County, we have nearly 1,000 employees, 20-plus departments. It's a large organization, and there's a lot of specializing in different areas. It's easy to get siloed. We want to break those silos down, not only on the inside when it comes to operations, but also in how we message and communicate with the public. So, it's been a great effort. We have more to do. So some signage has improved and changed. We have more signs proposed and looking at ways to improve the access signage into the county as a whole. More to come.
Cameron Clapper joining me by phone. Cameron, why don't you take a couple of minutes, maybe warm up a cup of coffee. I need to take a brief break. We're going to speak with the Dodge County Administrator on the other side of this break about housing and maybe another topic or two. There is a particular subject you would like me to raise with Cameron Clapper. You can text that to our Slumberland Furniture Studios right now, 887-9595. Party Line with Cameron Clapper continues in 2 minutes. As I speak with various municipal officials, state officials, it seems that housing seems to be an issue everywhere. This is not unique to any particular community, Fox Lake or Beaver Dam, not unique to Dodge County. It's a statewide, nationwide program. And I appreciate Cameron Clapper agreeing to come on the air and talk with me about housing and what we might be able to do for it a little bit more in some greater detail this morning on Party Line. I know it's not necessarily Dodge County's responsibility, Cameron, but just in general, how do you perceive housing as an issue in the municipalities across Dodge County?
Thank you. Yeah, well, first, I guess I would say I agree. It's not necessarily a Dodge County requirement or responsibility, but at the same time, yeah, I feel like, and part of our value statements as they're set up today, you know, our job as a county is to provide those services the state mandates, but then also to facilitate development and progress and opportunities for the people of the county as well as the communities. And most of that work is done through those communities, the towns, cities, and villages. So with that in mind or as context, yeah, I will just share with you, I see everywhere, right? This the lack of housing has been an issue. So in Dodge County, we have, I think, an additional aspect, which is we've got estimates from the Department of Administration that over the next, you know, 10, 20 years, maybe we'll have some growth, but ultimately between now and 2050, we're supposed to see a decline in population. So it's not only what we do now to address the immediate need, but how we do it so that if we enter a period of population decline at the end of that 30-year span, then, we're prepared for that as well. But I will tell you, yes, I've attended a number of different meetings and gatherings regarding this issue. and it is huge. So one of the huge for Dodge County, as it is for everywhere else, we've really tried to focus some resources on our community development fund, which I think we've talked about, Bob, in the past. A recap on that, we've allocated and want to annually, for the foreseeable future, allocate $2 million of sales tax or more to a fund that essentially is awarding grants for development in our various communities. And in doing that, be able to facilitate some of the construction of the infrastructure necessary for homes to be developed, subdivisions to be developed. In addition, commercial things, but commercial really isn't the issue right now. The issue is, as you mentioned, housing. So we've been working with the city of Waupun, the city of Beaver Dam, the city of Fox Lake, and now we're talking with and we'll be discussing applications for grants for the city of Horicon and as well for Iron Ridge. So in each of these cases, we're looking at trying to help facilitate their efforts to build additional housing by funding some of that development. And like I said, infrastructure. So we're talking about the roadways, sidewalks, the stuff that is around the house, not necessarily the house, right? So we've seen a number of proposals with a number of homes. We're talking about 30 to 50, depending on the application, and between now and 5 to 10 years from now. So we're hopeful that that will help, but you know, it's a lot bigger, I think, than that even. And it's not just a particular type of housing; it's the full life cycle of housing. When you think about the broad population we have in Dodge County,
you are mentioning the grants that Dodge County provided to a number of municipalities, Beaver Dam. And I've got actually a news story, which I say from June, where Kelly Crombie over at Fox Lake was stating his appreciation for the grant that came from Dodge County, which is helping them put in 72 new apartments and I think some single family homes as well. So I think the municipalities are appreciating that fund and what Dodge County is trying to do. Could you give our listeners, at least from your perspective, Cameron, and this may be a difficult question, where the responsibility falls, who should be doing what at the state, county, and then municipal level? Is it, do you have a perception it's money at one point, the state needs to give us greater flexibility legally, municipalities need to work together? How about the big picture? Who should be doing what to try to improve this situation?
Bob, that's an excellent question. Thank you. I will tell you, I think people ask that and wonder, and I don't think that it's any one specific group. I really think it is, and it should be a concert or a group effort. This is, and not just necessarily thinking about one specific location, but really thinking from a regional perspective. There's a lot that goes into what would entice a family to either stay here or to move here, in addition to the very clear needs we have in our area for our own people currently who struggle to find a place to live. Things like daycare, things like regional arrangements or agreements or cooperatives with between counties or between cities. It's really a concerted effort that needs to be undertaken at all levels. I would say from state and from local governments, one area that can be helpful is taking a close look at zoning code. What are we allowing? What are we preventing? Our code 8, I think for a lot of people, I mentioned before, we need to pull life cycle, housing life cycle, stock of homes. It's not just homes for people that are 65 and older or homes for young single individuals. It's, you know, all of the different types of housing stock. And do we have enough based on what our population is and what we want our population to be in terms of bringing people into our area in the future. So a regional approach, looking at coordinated efforts, looking at school districts and their programs, making sure that we have programs in our schools that are enticing and top of the line, you know, things that are laudable statewide. We want to be the shining star. And to do that, that takes everybody helping to lift.
When it comes to housing, do you see a particular roadblock or two? I mean, if there are people who want homes and they theoretically have money or can get money from a bank, and there are builders, why is there such a disconnect?
Yeah, well, I think I will tell you from my own experience, one disconnect or one challenge really has to do with expectations. And every situation that I've heard about is different. I can't really speak to a single example today, but in drawing from the last few years and just observing, in some instances, I would say a majority of instances, we're talking about a demand for apartments or condominiums in multi-unit buildings. That's what seems to be the need. But that's not the most popular to have in your backyard. And so also perception about what it means when you have a multi-unit building in your backyard. What does the term workforce housing mean versus subsidized housing? They're very different. The stigma or connotations with subsidized housing is not what we're talking about with workforce housing. It's your neighbors, your friends, the people that are serving as law enforcement in your community, the teachers in your schools. You know, it's not the expectations or perceptions of what different types of housing mean and what they are, I think, need to change. So I think that sometimes just that is an obstacle between what a community of individuals will be wanting and what they'll allow in their community. That's a part. I think the other part sometimes is the financing, a huge piece, and the one that we're trying to help with in Dodge County is the costs of just getting started in a development. Often there's a developer in line. There are programs that, thankfully, the state has put together for cities to use, like tax increment financing or other regional financing options or programs. But in the last several years, we've seen a massive increase in costs. So the cost to develop the infrastructure to get things off the ground often is the final piece to get put into the puzzle, and it's the most difficult to get accomplished. So if we can help facilitate that and provide resources, public resources, to help our communities get the infrastructure piece down, I think that is another obstacle that we could try to help overcome. So the expectations piece and maybe public education on what certain housing styles really mean in terms of what you get. It's not necessarily the projects or that kind of image is not necessarily the reality. I would say in most cases definitely not the reality when we're talking multi-use housing, and the infrastructure is incredibly expensive to get started. Those are probably the two biggest challenges, the biggest obstacles right now to any development.
I don't mean to pit Dodge County against Columbia or Fond du Lac counties or anything like that, much as sometimes municipalities are fighting over a new business or something of that ilk. That's not what I'm really discussing, but what advantages and what maybe potential disadvantages exist in Dodge County to attract and to increase the housing stock? What are some pluses we have going for us, and maybe what might be a minus or two that holding us back a little bit?
Well, that's a great question. I would say first, and this is, I have a bias. I think we have it in spades, but it's a benefit to all of the Midwest, is just our culture and the personalities of our people, the urban to rural transitions that we have, a predominantly Wisconsin, for example, predominantly rural with smaller communities. I think Dodge County shows that off well. I mean, we have great places to live if you want to live in a small town urban setting. I'm sure some people don't necessarily think of our cities as rural, but for purposes of our conversation, I'll call them rural. And then we have beautiful vistas and just a wonderful place to be. I think of some artwork I would see as a kid, or if you could define perfect, with rolling hills and sunshine and beautiful vistas, that's Dodge County. So we have that. We also have a very skilled labor force and a very, I would say, successful, very impressive manufacturing focus and niche in Dodge County. We have a lot of great things that you find anywhere else in the world are made here. And it's because of the types of jobs and opportunities that are with our businesses in manufacturing. I think honestly the areas there's a more than thinking about how we, well, more than necessarily just thinking about how we differ from other counties, and there's probably more that could be shared. I'm just not thinking of it mm-hmm. at this moment. But more than thinking about how we differ from other counties, I think there's also a benefit. We live in a world full of data to think about what kind of people might best fit or want to live in Dodge County based on the amenities that we have. We have very, very passionate people and very great communities. So I think there's a place here for a lot of different people in the world that are looking for a specific type of look and feel, and we've got it in the quaintness of our county, but also, you know, everybody knows everybody. So there's, yeah, I think that's probably our biggest advantage. We're just outside of our more urban areas of the state of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and we have a place that could set you apart and away from all the hustle and bustle.
Cameron did a great job explaining why people want to live here. Now we just have to get roofs over their heads. I appreciate so much. It was a difficult subject, and I appreciate you joining me this morning, being willing to come on and talk about some of the things, at least the county is trying to do at that level to improve housing capabilities around Dodge County. I hope you have a great weekend. I know you're traveling. Please do so safely, and I look forward to speaking with you again in the future.
Bob, thank you. Take care.
You bet. Cameron Clapper, Dodge County Administrator, on housing issues and a few other topics as well this morning here on Party Line. We'll get to the want ads right after these messages, the news and weather.